Welcome to this message from Alpha and Omega Christian Fellowship. We are a family on a journey to become more like Christ, sharing His kingdom by expressing His love. We hope that you will be blessed and encouraged by what we have to share.
Father God, we thank you for your presence here with us today. We thank you, Father God, that in this moment as we prepare our hearts to receive your word, Holy Spirit, that you may go to work. I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you touch each and every heart, that as you transform us on the inside, that we may live out this experience and change the world around us. We rely on your power today, Father God. We rely on the ministry of Jesus. And we receive from your heart this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated, please. Thank you, Michael. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. And slightly cooler weather today, finally. I like this time of year because it just reminds me of, and I don't have the exact dates of my salvation, but I know a few weeks before Easter. And so it's been 22 years now. And I just thought about that earlier. 22 years ago, I was second year in varsity. So, and I reflect on that moment often and that period of my life often. Because like many of you, I didn't see it coming. Holy Spirit would just step in. He would arrest your attention, cause your heart to break, and begin to minister to you and call your attention to the fact that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Amen. And so knowing the Lord Jesus Christ has, it's been everything to me. Through different experiences in ministry and different projects and helping people and serving and doing so many other things, ultimately you begin to understand that this is really about the life of Jesus. That this is all about Him. And that dependence and reliance on the Holy Spirit is what makes this experience so rich. And when you allow Him to transform you and you put your trust in Him, you begin to have a faith that maybe because of your impact and the Holy Spirit working through you, the world can change because He's allowed you to change. And how many of you have that testimony? If He can do it with me, yeah, then He can surely do it for anybody. Amen. And I want to start this morning just by, before I get into to the actual message, just to remind us of the scripture in John chapter 3 and verse 18. From the Amplified Bible, and it says, whoever believes and has decided to trust in Him as personal Savior and Lord is not judged. For this, there is no judgment, no rejection, no condemnation. But the one who does not believe and has decided to reject Him as personal Savior and Lord is judged already. That one has been convicted and sentenced because he has not believed and trusted in the name of the one and only begotten Son of God, the one who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, and the one who alone can save him. And I think we need to come back to the simplicity of this message. That often we try to overcomplicate things and try to approach everything with a certain theology and certain system and a program and a way of doing things where the starting point really is that we need to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you can trust Him to save you, you can trust Him for anything else. But often we want to do it the other way around. First put our trust in Him for everything else. And then hopefully He accepts us and hopefully He loves us enough by then that He then becomes our Savior. But He says, before you move, first believe in Me. Because this is the center of your faith. on my journey in ministry and just everyday life, I've discovered that if we allow, the Holy Spirit will use us and we don't use him. And that's something else that we often get wrong, is that we think Holy Spirit is a force or a power or something that we use and we can manipulate him in such a way that we are able to use him and to do things for us. But the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. He is a person. He's the one who was promised by Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we're going to look into that in a bit. A simple title for this message is, Why Do We Need the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? I'm not going to be speaking about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not going to be speaking about all the manifestations and administration. I want us just to come back to the basics of why Jesus said we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he is the person and he is the ministry of Jesus in us, working through us. You catch that? He is the person and the ministry of Jesus working in us and through us. It's not just some entity that maybe it's a good idea to call on him. No, he's a person. He wants to know you intimately. And he wants to talk with you. And he wants you to put into action the things and the agenda of heaven. And this is why he's called you. He works in us to teach, to transform, to guide. But then he also works through us to teach, transform, and to guide. We cannot do anything, even in the name of Jesus, without the Holy Spirit. Because you'll see in a bit that this was the mandate of Jesus, that you need my Holy Spirit in order to move. You need my Holy Spirit in order to live everyday life. You need my Holy Spirit to pray. One of the most powerful tools that the Spirit uses is recall, is remembrance, and reflection. The Spirit uses remembrance to encourage us in the faith, and I would often find that I would relive certain experiences just sitting in my quiet time, and the Spirit would bring to mind an experience that I've had with him. And in that moment, it feels like it's happening all over again. But it's so fresh and so real that it's as if it's happening for the first time. And it brings it not just to mind in the way that you would remember something good that has happened to you. It's as if I remember word for word what happened in that moment. And it's as if that experience is playing itself out again. And I would feel so incredibly encouraged as if, because it's real, it's like it's happening for the first time. And in the last few days, and in preparation for this message, and just in personal time on a Tuesday night and everything else that's going on, it reminded me of a couple of experiences that I've had early on, and even just before my salvation. I remember vividly, as if this happened last night. As an example, the first time my mom testified, I remember a cold Sunday night. This was before I was born again. Cold Sunday night in that Anglican church with the wooden pews where you move around a couple of times just so that maybe it becomes a little more comfortable. And for the first time, she testified and opened the scriptures in the Gospel of Matthew. And she spoke in Afrikaans because that's our home language. Was our home language. I don't know if it is anymore. So newer generations come along and they mess everything up. And she testified for the first time after having completed the Alpha course and attended a Holy Spirit weekend. And that culminated in this Sunday night where everybody who had attended would come to testify of their new faith. I didn't understand everything that happened at the time, but I knew for a fact that from that night, our home was never the same. That the Holy Spirit set something in motion. And in this week, it's as if that experience played itself out again, as if I'd just come from that service. the faith rising up on the inside, the boldness coming, the check in my own spirit, knowing that something has happened. I also remember in those early days, my dad who encouraged me and helped me to get to services on a Sunday evening. And for the first time when he said to me, "You're going to hear testimonies tonight, and this is real." And we attended a church at the time, or we would visit the church where, I know the slogan or the tagline or whatever was, a place where miracles happen. And in those early years, I would just see these manifestations and walk away knowing there's no doubt in my mind that this is real. Because I'm seeing people get healed. I'm seeing gangsters and drug addicts come to know the Lord. I'm seeing transformation right in front of my eyes. I'm seeing the Spirit at work. And imagine having that, and the Holy Spirit brings these things to mind as if it was happening again right now. And I pray in this morning service and during your time this week that He would remind each of you of your personal experiences with Him. Replaying it, your salvation, the first time you were baptized in the Spirit, your water baptism, seeing someone healed, seeing yourself healed, having your own life transformed. Remembrance is a powerful tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I also recall the outpouring of the Spirit in our youth meetings. I so wish we documented those moments, Siobhan. I so wish that we had cameras there, because I can't explain it. In a traditional Anglican church, you see the witness, the outpouring of the Spirit on high school kids coming in, wanting nothing to do with church. Don't look now. Wanting nothing to do with the Bible. But in a few moments, the Spirit manifesting, transforming, and bringing young people into new life. Whatever happens, nobody can take away your lived experience of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. No matter where you find yourself. And I believe in this season, as we prepare for influx and for change and for transformation, that the Holy Spirit would remind you of those precious moments that you had with Him. I remember my first time being baptized in the Spirit. We were in the lounge of the priest at the time, and we were standing there worshiping to a CD. And I forgot that I was supposed to be standing up. And when I looked again, I was getting up from the floor. And then a few days later, I began to speak in a new tongue. And the Holy Spirit changed my language altogether. Not just speaking in tongues, but I knew then that He had done something. Something is different now. And it can never be the same again. I say all of this to tell you that He is still the same Holy Spirit and is moving among us, working within us, and He has a desire to be expressed through us. Amen? Amen. So why do we need Him? Why do we need Holy Spirit? Let's go to John chapter 14, please, and I'll read from verse 16 to 17, and then we'll pick it up at verse 25 again. John 14, 16 from the Amplified says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, a comforter, an advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart, because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him." You know Him, Jesus says. Each one of us. Remember, He's not speaking to unbelievers here. He says, you know Him, because He, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. You cannot find a new Holy Spirit. You cannot desire some other experience or another entity. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And in these verses, Jesus says to the disciples clearly, you know him, and he's with you. And so Jesus helps us to understand the role of the Holy Spirit. He uses all these beautiful words to describe that role. He says things like helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, hyphenated word, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, and standby. If Jesus, the Son of God, uses these words to describe the Spirit of God, why would we ignore him? Why would we in this day and age ignore this kind of help, this kind of strengthening, this type of counselor, and this kind of promise that he is forever with us and in us? In verse 25 and 26 of the same chapter, he goes on to say, I have told you these things while I am still with you, but the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I told you. Even Jesus here recognizes the power of that remembrance. He's basically saying to the disciples, you will remember our encounters. You will remember our moments, and it will be so precious to you. When the persecution comes, when the dark times come, when you get rejected, when you have to appear before the authorities, the Holy Spirit will remind you of our experiences. And nobody can take that from you. He will remind you. I said earlier that the Holy Spirit is the person and ministry of Jesus in us and through us. Jesus is no longer walking on the earth among us, but his Spirit is alive on the inside of us. And his role is to keep the ministry of Jesus alive on the inside of us. And he does this through teaching and encounters. We can teach all we want. We're going to have this course in a few days. We have sermons on a Sunday. There are other things that happen. But ultimately, you will have to rely on Holy Spirit to make these things stick and to help you express these things wherever you find yourself. The expression and the desire for expression is important, because why would he pour out if you don't want to pour out? Why would he fill you if we don't want to fill? And it's important to understand that the Holy Spirit is at work constantly, but it's so easy to ignore him. It's so easy to reject him. The Holy Spirit helps us to bring the standards and the influence of the kingdom of God to earth. And I'll say this, you cannot live out your kingdom purpose without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You will just be doing good things. Lots of people in the world are doing good things. But the Holy Spirit will do the kingdom thing through you. And that's your purpose. The mandate of heaven on earth. We are the agents who bring heaven to earth with the help and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So that's the first key role of the Holy Spirit, is that he keeps the ministry of Jesus and that remembrance alive on the inside of us. The second key thing is that our instructions for our mission and our purpose come through the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, in my first book I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. Jesus had an absolute dependence and reliance on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How can we as believers reject that ministry? It says, I gave them instructions. I gave instructions to the apostles through the Holy Spirit. And that took the shape of many different ways and encounters and experiences. It was a one-on-one. talks, it was appearances, it was the miracles, it was the signs and the wonders, it was supernatural provision. And constantly Jesus reminded them, I'm going away, you're staying behind, and this is what I need you to do. The church cannot be birthed, or could not be birthed, without the power of the Holy Spirit. He must fill us and guide us. God will send people to help. But ultimately our purpose is tied to the Spirit's work in our lives. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says, after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. You can't go very far with a radical message like ours without boldness. Because you and I were not there on the day of the cross. Yet we claim everything that we know about the cross because of the word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you say to somebody, in this day and age especially, that you believe in Jesus Christ, was born of a virgin, went to the cross and died, and on the third day rose again, and now forever lives, the first thing is, how do you know? How do you really know? How do you testify of your own faith? Because you were not there. It takes a certain kind of boldness. And we're going to see in a bit why you don't have to be concerned about confessing that truth. So I'm going to give you the instructions from the Word of God on how to do that. But it takes boldness. Not violence or arrogance. Not being abrupt. Not getting into all kinds of arguments and debates. I've never debated anybody into the kingdom. But I've loved a lot of people into the kingdom. Don't get caught up in your workplace or wherever you find yourself, all kinds of arguments. The Bible warns us against that. It's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. It's His love. It's His goodness. It's not your clever way of debating. We do have people called for that. We do have people positioned for that kind of thing. But ultimately, it's the love of God that draws people close. It's His love. It's the washing of the feet that affirms the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ in an unbeliever's life. It's the laying down of your own life. It's the testifying of the goodness of God. It's the being at peace when everything around you is chaotic. It's the opportunity for those people to see that there's something different, and I want a part of that. And these are basic things, things that we all know. But I think it's important in the season that we begin to understand and revisit as we prepare for influx, as we prepare for souls to be won for the kingdom of God. So three key things as to why we need the Holy Spirit. Number one, He keeps Jesus alive on the inside of us. Number two, our instructions for our purpose and our mission comes through the Holy Spirit. And number three, He makes us bold. Now, there are several others. I'm going to give you that three. Perhaps at another stage, I'll delve into more of this. But I don't want us to get lost with too many things here. Understand that you need the Holy Spirit in your life. Understand that you need to have a dependence on Him to live out your kingdom purpose. And understand that you don't have to be fearful because He will give you courage to do it. So then, if that's the case, how are we to be filled with this Holy Spirit? As I said earlier, there's only infilling if there's a desire for outpouring. The Holy Spirit does not fill us so we can go to sleep. The Holy Spirit doesn't fill us so we can take up space in a church. Holy Spirit fills us for the kingdom mission. And there must be desire. You have to want this. You have to desire the work of the Spirit in your life in order for Him to fill you. You have to make a determined decision that, Holy Spirit, I want to know You. I want to know You intimately and not just as a concept. I want you to befriend me. I want to see your work in my life. I want to put my trust in you. I want to speak to you, and I want you to minister to me. And the price that you pay for this is your time. There's no anointing without the time. You cannot be anointed for the mission if you don't have those regular times in your day, in your week, throughout the year, where it's just you and God. Time is the price that you have to pay. So the desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit through the eyes of Jesus. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. And it says, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. The narrative changes for you and I slightly because Jesus has entered into his glory. So the Spirit is available. But Jesus says there needs to be a thirst. In other words, if you're not thirsty, don't come. How many of you are more annoyed when you're thirsty as opposed to when you're hungry? I can deal with not having lunch and breakfast and whatever, but have you ever been thirsty and you can't get to something to drink? There's a desperation. You make a plan, you make the effort. And Jesus is referring to the same kind of thing here. How much striving and effort do you still want to put in week after week and day after day, trying to do this in your own strength, trying to make a success, striving for approval and wanting to fit in, where Jesus is simply saying, if you are thirsty, then come to me. I have the living water. I have it, and I will pour it out into you. And you walk away from there, and you go and pour it out. So how to be filled with the Spirit, there needs to be desire. There needs to be a thirst on the inside of you. You have to want this. And number two, you have to pray. I think often we look at the baptism of Jesus, and I mentioned this the other night in prayer meeting. We have this picture in our mind of Jesus being baptized, and we're okay with that. And we see him coming out of the waters. And then we have the picture of the dove, and we know that the dove represents the Holy Spirit. Just automatically. If that were true, then each one of us would just automatically receive the Holy Spirit when we come through the baptism waters. The Bible doesn't say that when Jesus came out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on him. Let's just look at this verse. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, and was praying, the heavens opened. There's nothing automatic in the kingdom. There's no formula for this kind of stuff. You've got to put in the effort. You've got to put in the time and make the time and say to the Lord, I want this. And it doesn't take long. If you just take a few moments, be quiet and ask Holy Spirit to fall, you speak to you, minister to you. Within a few moments, he'll be there. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." With you, I am well pleased after receiving the Holy Spirit. Jesus hasn't even done anything yet. But his Father says, with you, I am well pleased. We've got to stop this desire for affirmation and approval, especially from people. Because your Father looks at you today and says, with you, I'm well pleased. If you've accepted my Son, with you, I'm well pleased. And everything else flows from there and not the other way around. I think often we get caught up in the fact that we want manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and the evidence of that is that I speak in tongues and we see the signs and wonders, and there is place for that, and that will happen. And the Holy Spirit is gracious enough to give it to you when it's needed. But evidence that you are filled with the Holy Spirit is that you understand, my Father is pleased with me. It doesn't matter what I do and say. I accept that His Son is pleased with me. Church, the Holy Spirit has more for us individually and collectively. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, a familiar one. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Some of us know Him, but we've lost the intimacy and the impact of His ministry in our lives. And it's time to go back. It's time to have Holy Spirit time. It's time to acknowledge His life and His ministry in our lives. There's the story in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 5 to 6, where we see that as this group of men were working and felling a log and cutting trees, and they get to be building, and they have made all the preparations and do all kinds of things, that all of a sudden one of them says that the axe head has fallen into the water. And he cries out and he says to his master, it was borrowed, it wasn't ours, and now it's fallen into the water. The axe head, the thing that makes this mission possible, the representative of the anointing and the Spirit of God in your life. That authority and that power has fallen into the water. And the man of God said, where did it fall? In other words, where did you lose it? Where did it come undone? Where did that impact disassociate itself from you? Where is the thing that you needed to complete this mission? Show me where it fell. And many of us are in that position. We've been working and working and felling the logs and building, striving, but the axe head has fallen into the water. And the good news is that you don't have to go and figure it all out as to where you lost it. You just have to come back to the heart of God and say, Lord, I want that again. Holy Spirit is with us from salvation. He baptizes us to impart His power and His gifts. But the Holy Spirit comes upon us for service, for prayer, for ministry, and to restore our joy. We need the Holy Spirit to pray. The reason why you cannot spend time in prayer is because you've neglected the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And once He comes into the equation, you'll see. You'll see. You've known. You've been there before. You understand His work. And as He fills you up, open your mouth and speak. Speak in your natural tongue. Speak in an unknown tongue. But express His work. Thank Him. Welcome Him every day. Even throughout your day, Holy Spirit, I need You. He's right there. Remember the promise of Jesus right when we started? He is with you continually because you know Him. You don't have to go and look for Him. And just while preparing this, I just sense that somebody's joy is going to return today. Maybe it's been a while since you've had anything to smile about or laugh about. Maybe life has just been so draining. Maybe everything has just been so difficult and everything is a mission. But God says He's been with you the whole time. So as that joy is being restored today, don't neglect His ministry. And I pray today that heaviness and burdens be lifted today in the name of Jesus. That the things that you are concerned about, that Jesus steps into your situation today and says, put it on my shoulder through the work of his Holy Spirit. Let me carry it. Cast your cares because he cares for you. Cast your burdens unto the Lord. I pray even right now, if that's you, you're feeling burdened, you're feeling troubled at work, at school, family life, financial life, whatever the case, just right now, close your eyes. Just if you need burdens to be lifted, one hand up and just pray and just ask the Holy Spirit. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we pray for these burdens to be lifted. We pray, Father God, for your joy to be restored. We pray, Father God, that the life of your Spirit may return to your people. Would you pray, would you open your mouth and just thank him for his work, for his ministry right now? Just thank him for easing that burden, for the signs and the wonders, for his life on the inside of you. Thank you, Michael. And I'm going to close with the scripture today that I believe is for each and every one of us. From the Message Bible, Matthew chapter 10. And I'd like us to stand because we're going to have a time of ministry after that. So I'm going to read this for us and then we're going to just continue in the time of worship. Matthew chapter 10, I want to read this from the Message because I just want the message to land. I just want you to receive it as it is this morning. And you can dig into it and study it in your own time. Matthew 10, 5 to 20, it says, Jesus sent his 12 harvest hands out with this charge. Don't begin by traveling to some far off place to convert unbelievers. Don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. I'm not making these words up, as you can see. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. Don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You know how many people say to me, I will do what you are doing if I had the money. If I win the lotto, I will do what you are doing. And I will do what that ministry is doing. If I just had all the money. Can I tell you now that in the kingdom of God, you are never going to have all the money up front. You are never going to have all the resources. Listen to what it says here. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. And all you need to keep that going is 3 meals a day. Travel light. When you enter a town or village, don't insist on staying in a luxury inn. Get a modest place with some modest people. And be content there until you leave. When you knock on a door, be courteous in your greeting. If they welcome you, be gentle in your conversation. If they don't welcome you, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way. You can be sure that on Judgment Day, they'll be mighty sorry. But it's no concern of yours now. Stay alert. This is hazardous work I'm assigning you. You're going to be like sheep running through a wolf pack. So don't call attention to yourselves. Be as shrewd as a snake, inoffensive as a dove. Don't be naive. Some people will question your motives. Others will smear your reputation just because you believe in me. Don't be upset when they haul you before the civil authorities. Without knowing it, they've done you and me a favor, given you a platform for preaching the kingdom news. And here's one for all of you. And don't worry about what you'll say or how you'll say it. The right words will be there. The Spirit of your Father will supply the words. Many of you have a desire to do kingdom work. Many of you have a desire to to minister, to help, to alleviate pain and pressure and bring joy into your community. But you're worried about having it figured out up front. You're worried about having it all and then moving. Every time I've tried to figure it out and have it all before moving, that project has not taken off. Now, God is not saying be careless. In fact, He's saying you have what you need. You're just looking in the wrong place. You don't need to have it all figured out. You don't need to have the words. You don't need to have that type of personality. I can tell you that I am the introvert of all the introverts, of all the introverts that you know. I don't do this. You can be in my company and I'll sit there for 3 or 4 hours and not say a word and be joyful when I leave. And the first time that God said to me, I want you to stand in front of people and deliver this message about purpose, I said, you are clearly mistaken that you have the wrong person. And then I heard Him say these words, don't worry. You stand there. You know, I can't get nervous when I stand here. I can't get anxious. Sometimes I try to figure it out. I don't lose sleep over it when I have to speak the word of God in front of people, whether it be in a setting like this or one-on-one. And it's not that I don't understand what is required of me and how big the moment is and what I've been entrusted with. But this is not my own doing. The Spirit of your Father will supply the words. The Spirit of your Father will supply the words. And you don't need to have it all. You go into that area and you take the people out of the enemy's camp and you bring them into the kingdom. And people will smear your name and they will try to give you a bad reputation. And it will get more difficult, Carmen. But you've been placed there for a reason. The Spirit of your Father will supply the words. He says, without knowing it, they've done me and you a favor. They've given you opportunity to speak. Anytime they push back, it's an opportunity for the gospel to shine. Would you pray this morning? Just lift your hands. Ask the Holy Spirit to fold you with the courage, the boldness to lead your family, to lead your business, to do well in your workplace. Start that ministry. Somebody here is wondering about that thing that they want to start. Start it and extend it. Bring more people into it. Take it as far as you dream. I pray for businesses right now, kingdom businesses to rise up. God will give you the finances. God will give you the equipment. It's the Holy Spirit will equip you and give you the words to say and bring you before men and show you favor in the name of Jesus. You don't have to win the lotto. You heard it this morning. You are the equipment. You are His plan, not the money. You are the plan. Go into the enemy's camp and rescue in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Fill us right now with this courage, with this boldness. Transform our hearts. Transform our thinking. And as we look to you, Holy Spirit, express yourself through us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Anybody sick in body, just quickly lay your hands on yourself. On that part that's troubling you. Stand in the gap for somebody that you know. You're trusting for a healing. It says in this very passage, bring health to the sick. Bring health to the sick. So we pray in the name of Jesus. Any sick among us to be delivered right now, to be healed in the name of Jesus. Anybody that you are trusting for, mention their names in the presence of God this morning. May they be healed in the name of Jesus. Anybody experiencing chaos in their family right now, where there's rebellion, where there's disorder, right now may the Spirit of God step in. May the Spirit of God step in and help you. Anybody concerned for their children, Doesn't matter what age. Right now, put your trust in Jesus. Ask Him to intervene in that situation. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We just pray that you may restore the order in our lives, the excellence of the kingdom of heaven. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you today. We give you praise. And we just trust in you, Father God, as you take us from glory to glory, that we would be aware of your presence daily, that we would be aware of the work of the Spirit in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For additional resources and more information, come and visit us at alphaomega.org.za.